Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Good morning. Grab a seat, please. My name's Mark. If I haven't met you yet, I'm part of the leadership team here at Gateway. What a morning. We are in the middle of a series on mercy. And so we've been hearing about that today in the first service and the second service. So if you've got your outline there, pull that out. If you're a guest, it gives you something to follow. If you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, you'll instinctively pull it out and follow along. Because there's a brilliant story in the Gospel of Mark about Jesus and mercy. And let's race through this story. And a man with leprosy, which is a terrible skin disease, came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you're willing, you can make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "Mate, I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone else about this. Instead, go to the Jewish priest at the temple and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went onto social media and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. And as a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't get a car parking space anywhere. He had to stay out in secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. What a guy. On your outline there, one of the things that jumped out to me this week, I was scribbling it down on my pad, was mercy is a mindset. Mercy is a mindset. And that mindset is called compassion. Now, in the ancient times, they thought that the deepest part of your emotions and your inner mindsets of who you are resided in your bowels. So that the deepest recesses of you actually was where the deepest part of you actually came out from. So when you read it, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. Those few words are actually saying that from the inner part of who Jesus was, in his deepest recess, he actually was moved with compassion, a mercy coming from inside of him. You know, that's the same mindset God has towards each of you here. Whether you're a Christian or someone who's checking out the faith or a rant-raving atheist, welcome. God has that same mindset towards you. How do I know that? Well, I saw it in reading the Gospels, what Jesus did. That's been my own experience. And it's continually throughout the Gospels. God is merciful. In the Aussie culture, we've had it dumbed down, and Hollywood's told us, and everybody else has told us, oh no, God's not like that. God is merciful. We've heard it today. I heard it many times in the first service and the second service again. If you look at that brilliant story in front of you, again, the second thing that jumped out at me was that mercy is a movement. Have a look at the story in front of you. When the man begged for Jesus to do something, it says, it's right in front of you, Jesus moved and touched him. So from his inner bowel, from his deepest part of who Jesus was, he didn't go, hallelujah, awesome, blessed. He actually made a movement towards him. Mercy is a movement. Now, in ancient times and over the centuries, the word compassion originally was used as a verb, a doing word, an action word, a word of movement. In recent times, in recent decades, the word compassion we often use as an adjective, a describing word, like putting colour on a canvas, light and fluffy, like the word pity. But compassion is actually a verb, a doing, an action word. And when you see that in Jesus, you realise he totally got what it was about. You know, why I raise that is, again, being an Aussie, and Aussie for generations through the line, like many of you, and for those of you maybe recent Aussies, is in our culture, We think when things happen that we do that makes us feel unclean on the inside, that no one else may even be aware of, but we feel unclean. There's sin in us that we do and it's inside. We actually think when that happens that this God that Hollywood and everybody else tells us about turns his back on us and says, looks over his shoulder with pity and says, you're stuffed up, you're on your own, son. And that God moves away from us. When you actually understand, God is always moving towards you. He's not moving away. What I think happens is that when we do stuff up, often we start to believe the garbage that's pumped down our throat about this awful God, and we actually back away in shame, and when actually that's not the way it is. God's always moving towards you with mercy and compassion and forgiveness and tenderness. That's been my experience. That's what the Gospels are full of. The other thing that jumped out in that brilliant story in those first few verses is that mercy is modelled. Mercy is modelled. Jesus did so many acts of mercy, of compassion and tenderness and forgiveness towards people in public places. And people were looking at him going, let's see if he's the real deal. So imagine how they thought when he instantly moved towards the leper, for example. A couple of decades ago at least, when Gateway was a lot smaller, and we used to meet in scout halls and school classrooms and basketball stadiums and that I can remember this decades ago. I was working in a secular job in business and raising a family like many of you. And like many of you, I was volunteering in the Gateway to try and help grow this little thing, and we're all trying to work out, weren't we, Marcy and Rick, what we're trying to do. And thank you so much for so many of you volunteer. I say that from the bottom of my gut, that the magic of this place is the people that serve and volunteer. Thank you so much. It's not the lights, that's all the froth and bubble, which is great. It's you guys. Thank you so much for volunteering. So one time, decades ago, one of my roles as a volunteer was on the leadership team. And another one of the leaders who was a volunteer, who had his own small business, busy man, Tony. Tony was about 20 years older than me. And this happened a couple of decades ago, at least a few decades ago. It was midwinter. It was a midweek night. And Tony rang me. He said, Mark, I've got an interesting one. I said, what's that, mate? He said, there's a man, a lonely old man, on his own, who's dying in Carrum Downs. And he wants a church to come along and be with him in his final few lonely hours. He said, no worries, mate, what time do you pick him out? So we got to the house in Carrum Downs, late evening. And back then, it was a typical 15 square brick veneer Carrum Downs home. They're a lot bigger now. The bedroom was tiny, was no bigger than this stage in total squareage. It was just tiny, and 3.5 metre by 3 metre. And we walked into this dark, quiet, cold room, bedroom, and there was a gentleman on the bed, hooked up to stuff, and over there was a palliative care nurse, a male. And there was Tony and I just standing at the back wall, and the gentleman would slip in and out of consciousness through those hours, late into the evening and then into the early hours of the morning. And at times when he was conscious, Tony would just gently whisper words of encouragement into him, and just whispered scripture into him, and just whispered hope into him, and would just whisper prayers into him. And the gentleman just lay there and would nod and give a little bit of a grin, but he was obviously in pain. And then he'd drift into unconsciousness. And then, because over that time, in such a small, confined space for several hours, you create a bond with the palliative care nurse, and he came over to us many times. And he, when the man was in unconsciousness, he would whisper to us and explain to us what's happening in the final hours of the man's body, which is what faces me and what faces you, is that your body parts start to shut down. Like your body temperature starts to shut down, and he would whisper to us what's actually happening. So we're right there in the process. And eventually, in the early morning hours, this lonely old man slipped off into his eternity. Now, over two decades later, I cannot tell you the street where that is in the 5 square kilometres of Carrum Downs. I wouldn't have a clue. If you said, Mark, I'll give you $1 million to point out the house, you can keep your $1 million, because it's gone. But decades later, as if it was last night, I remember the mercy modelled to me by the palliative care nurse towards that man, hour after hour. I remember Tony, who was 20 years older than me, modelling mercy to that gentleman as he whispered tenderness and compassion and mercy and God's goodness towards this man. I remember that decades later. It stayed with me. Last week or so, was home with Sally one night, and she's the queen of her sofa, and so she's on her, Sally's my wife, and she's the queen of the remote. Wow. Those who know her know that, and she's the queen of Netflix. So her way of looking at Netflix is like a pinball inside a pinball machine. She's going to watch a movie or a doco, where it's bing, 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 and she'll pick one. Now, I'm lying. She allowed me to lie on one of her sofas on the other side of the coffee table with her. So I lay there and quietly had my iPad out in front of me. So I'm like that, and she went bing, 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 picked an hour documentary. And as it started, I looked up and thought, oh, I know this person. This person I started to take notice of decades ago. And this person had such a global influence that I ended up reading several books about this person. So I put down my iPad and thought, I'll watch the first couple of minutes, then go back to the iPad. So I'm watching this documentary, and in the first few minutes, as things started to happen for this person, I said to Sally, oh, this is when that person goes to Russia, and then a person goes to England, and then a big event this person had in Australia. I happened to look across at Sally, and she looked at me with that, will you shut up look. So, she who must be obeyed, I lay there. But the documentary drew me in. And in the first couple of minutes after, I was actually drawn into the documentary. Shut my iPad and put it down and got drawn into the documentary. Because I saw an aspect of this person who I'd read several books on that I'd never considered, never thought about, hadn't stood back and really gave it a good squiz about an aspect of this person's life. And I got drawn in. Have a look at a couple of minutes of this clip. When I finished watching that, Sally and I are on our sofas, and we were dead quiet, dead quiet. And I quietly got up and grabbed the cups and quietly took them out to the kitchen. And then I quietly went outside to our big wood heap. And I stood there and I cried. I cried. I said, Lord, I've just been exposed to a man who's shown mercy to individuals for decade after decade after decade after decade. Lord, I'm not fit to even tie up his shoelaces. Lord, please give me a touch of that mercy towards individuals, as Billy Graham has done over the years. It's the same God that touched Billy Graham and was faithful to him for decade after decade after decade. It's the same God that moves towards you. If you don't know him, he's moving towards you. If you're a Christian, he's got crusty and you've got full of religious garbage and legalism and you've gone tough on the inside. God's moving towards you. He's never backing away from you. We could easily say today, if we were cynical, oh, it's just a bit of emotion. Some of the young punks just got baptised and they'll get over it. Church is a good place for morals. We can get good morals at the Girls Guides or Scouts too. They're good groups. It's way more than that. I think in the first service, the mob of young people that got baptised, and again here, what I was hearing was they've actually started to sense a little bit of God's movement towards them in various expressions. And they've sensed God's grace and compassion and tenderness and forgiveness like a wall of beautiful cloud just coming towards them a bit, and they've touched on that. And they've simply responded to that where they're at in their life journey. They will still be rude to you parents tomorrow. They will still stuff up. They will still sin. They'll still go slack at school. They'll still do dumb, dumb things. But when you understand where they're at on their life journey, they've simply encountered a bit of this merciful God who is Jesus in bodily form. Read the Gospels. God is moving towards you. And Jesus modelled that time after time after time. If something's happening between here and here for you, and deep in your recesses you're going, ooh, I think God, you're touching me again. Come and chat to me after. I won't bash you over the Bible. I'll just share life with you. Talk to our pastors. Talk to our prayer team. Talk to the people that value you so much. They value you so much that they took a risk inviting you here today. Talk to them about this merciful God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a merciful God. Thank you, Jesus, that as God you model it to us in human form. That mercy isn't a feeling. Compassion isn't a feeling. It's a mindset. It's a movement. It's a model of the heart of the Heavenly Father. Lord, forgive us for when we don't show it. Please touch us to be just a tad like Billy Graham, Lord, to extend mercy and compassion towards around us. We thank you, Lord, for the power and the transformation that can happen in every life through the Gospels when we read and encounter Jesus Christ, our God, our Saviour. Lord, may this Easter be something super special for every person here. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.